Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to scatter, got it into Ewing. Ewing trying to get front court. Noel swiping it.
You do won't none! You don't won't none!
LB's Brick Squad, LB's
Brick Squad!
Cowboys ready!
Roll, boy!
You know!
Clutch Move with Cameron War. I'm glad you guys are tuning in tonight. We had a little bit of fun for you tonight instead of talking politics and all that other bull crap. You know, I am happy the Chicago Cubs clinched the National League Central Division last night. I'm beyond happy. I am so happy they got it done. I mean, it is just, I'm full of joy from it. And I know the Dodgers clinched, the Indians clinched, the Twins clinched. So did the Cubs. Extra here. It's about 15 minutes long, but I want to insert it into my show here so you guys can hear it. It's a dedication to 108 years of waiting. This podcast is sort of a little bit about me and an introduction to myself. So I'm going to give you guys a little fun. Please stay tuned in. And here you go.
Drive down the right field line, deep in the corner. That's a fair ball up against the wall in one hop. It's going to be a double for Rizzo. Bryant's going to score. The throw goes to second. Bryant scores. Double for Rizzo. Cubs lead 1-0. The throw by Chisenhall went to second base. Bryant got the green light from Gary Jones. Great base running. Great base coaching. Cubs lead 1-0.
Joe let him go on 3-0.
I will.
He does for the base hit. Here comes Rizzo. No throw to the plate. Schwarber's delivered. 2-0. He's back. That's one into the corner. A rocket. Rizzo will get the third. Schwarber's to third. 2-0 Chicago. Schwarber with another base hit. Comes up 4-0 here in the fifth inning. To the right side, Kipnis, a juggle, and a save. That loads him up. He's walking, and it's 5-0 Chicago.
Cubs win a World Series ball game for the first time since 1945. They have evened up this World Series at one victory apiece, and a very significant victory for the Cubs, Ron.
How do you kind of go about a game like this?
We don't put much thought into it. I mean, we know if we lose, we go home. We've won three in a row many times this year, even more than that. So we've got John on the hill tonight. I get to go Tuesday, and then Kyle will finish it off for us. So we like the way it lines up. We just obviously have to get to today.
Lester.
Give him a standing ovation. We go to the bottom of the first. No score.
Here's the 0-1. Hop fly, right side. Over near the first base dugout, David Ross is there along with Rizzo. Ross juggles it, and Rizzo makes the catch. Ross had it pop out of his glove. Rizzo right there to catch it. That happened in a World Series game back in about 1980 when Bob Boone dropped the ball.
Ball deep left field. It's got a chance. Gone. Chris Bryant with a home run to left, and the Cubs lead 1-0.
In the air to center. Nate went to his left. Chisholm made a run. Gets it. One run scores. Here comes Dobrus. Throw home. Safe as the ball gets away. Russell ends up at third. 7-0 Chicago. Broken bat might be two. Out of
Look
center.
It.
What a job of money.
Knows how to handle these spots.
This is going to be a tough play.
I'm telling you guys, that is an emotional moment in sports. I'm sitting here almost in tears thinking about it. Man. But what I want to talk about a little bit tonight, man, is just I want to have a little bit of fun with all the negativity in the world going on today. You know, I'm just going to go over my introduction to sports and how I got into sports. Well, the story goes one day, I went to my nan's house, and my mama's brother was there, which is my uncle. I always used to bug the hell out of my uncle every time I went over there because he'd be in his room, or he'd be asleep, and I'd go over there and I'd knock on his door and beg to come in his room. But one day, he was in there watching a Carolina basketball game, I believe it was a Carolina basketball game. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was a Carolina basketball game. And, you know, me being 6, 7, or 8 years old at the time was asking ridiculous questions. You know, I didn't know anything about the sport, but I thought it was fun to watch. He sort of got bugged with me, you know. He's young as self at the time, and I'm only 7 or 8 years old. I just, for some reason, sports, I drew to sports over anything, over any hobby, over any habit. I drew to watching sports. Well, it was Carolina basketball. And Lord God, I'm still a Tar Heel faithful to this day. I'm a Tar Heel faithful. And I love sports so much that I plan on going to school to be a sports journalist. Eventually. But I conversate with my uncle every week over sports, you know, the latest topics, the news, the latest games, what went on in this game, what went on in that game. And honestly, I think I get on his nerves sometimes. I bug everyone around me about sports. That's how much I love it. I drive my girlfriend freaking crazy. And my mother just gets to the point where she ignores me when I'm talking about sports because that's all I talk about. That's all I'm interested in is sports, sports, sports. And nobody, half the time, nobody even understands what I'm talking about. I don't know. I guess that's just me. But the first jersey I ever owned was a Chicago Cubs Sammy Sosa jersey. It was bought for me when I was 10 years old by my uncle for Christmas. And ever since then, I loved the Cubs since they were the sorriest team in the land. Then when I started watching college basketball, my nana and my mom and my uncle and my aunts, they started buying me Carolina shirts for Christmas and my birthdays and, you know, stuff like that. Not to mention my aunt and my uncle were Carolina alumni. That's another reason why I love the Tar Heels so much. I plan to be a Carolina alumni in the future. But, I mean, wow. I mean, just to realize the fact that I've enjoyed sports since I was this young. I was probably 7 or 8 years old interested in sports. I mean, you know, I sit back and reminisce on it, and it's like, wow, how did I get all this knowledge about sports? I guess it was just from years of watching it, years of asking questions. And that's how I got introduced to it. And I think my second jersey ever, my grandma had bought me a Philadelphia 76ers jersey. It was an Allen Iverson jersey because when I was in the, I think, the 3rd, 4th, or 5th grade, that's what was the LeBron James of then. So, you know, I wanted the Iverson jersey, and I liked Allen Iverson. So I wore that thing for years. And I still, to this day, I have my uncle Charlotte Hornets Muggsy Bogues jersey hanging on my wall, and my girlfriend picks at me about me having a Carolina Shrine and a Chicago Cubs Shrine on my wall. I call it the Cameron Wall of Fame, is what I call it. The Wall of Fame. If you get put on my Wall of Fame, you got to be special, or something has to be special. Because, listen, guys, I don't hang anything up on my wall. I just don't. If it has nothing to do with UNC, or if it has nothing to do with the Panthers, or if it has nothing to do with the Hornets, it does not go up on my wall. Unless in the future, if it's like, you know, my wedding photos and stuff like that, you know. But other than that, it doesn't go on my wall at all. And people pick at me about it all the time. All the time. And it kills me. But I still think it's funny. I remember times I would go to my Nana's house and I would go watch a Carolina game with my uncles. Or my uncle and my Nana. And I would literally cry. I would cry like a baby when they lost. I would cry. And my Nana would just say, Cameron, you need to calm down. It's just a game. You can't change it. But they lost. I know they lost, but you can't change it. And as I'm sitting here talking about this, about a couple of weeks ago, me and my uncle watched the UNC Cal season football opener. And Carolina lost, of course, which it's led me to a life of mediocrity and pain. So has the Panthers. My God, every time they make it to a Super Bowl, they mess up. Or the year they make it to the Super Bowl, the year after, they're just mediocre and horrible. But besides the point, I mean, here's me 22 years old and I'm bummed out over a football game. Over a team that's not even ranked. I'm bummed out over. And like my girlfriend would attest to this. If one of my favorite teams loses on a day, my day is ruined. Like, legit, my day is ruined. And I mean, it's been like that ever since I was a kid. My day is legitimately ruined when one of my favorite teams lose. And then I think the third or fourth jersey that I was purchased as a child was a Julius Peppers jersey and a Steve Smith jersey from the Carolina Panthers. I also was a fan of them when they were the sorriest team in the land, which somewhat mediocrity they still are. I didn't say that, guys. Pretend like I didn't say that. But, you know. Oh, Lord. And there's been times where I would be watching a game and my mother would tell me to go in my room because I would be screaming at the top of my lungs at the TV and yelling and screaming. She would have to tell me to shut up and go in my room. That's how serious I take sports, guys. You guys think it's a joke. Ask anybody that knows me. Ask any of my family. Ask my girlfriend. Ask my brother. That's how serious I am when it comes to sports. That's how serious. So when I got in about that ninth grade, I decided I was going to play football. Well, it was time for us. I played on junior varsity. I played for a school called the South Brunswick High School Cougars. And trust me, guys, I wasn't very good. I've never been an athletic person. I just love sports. But I was playing on JV, and it was time for us to play a scrimmage against our own varsity team. Well, for somehow, some reason, somebody fumbled the football, and I picked it up, and I started running with it. There was a defensive lineman. I don't know if he played defensive lineman or linebacker or what, but his name was Terrell Stanley. He went to ECU. He played college ball for ECU. And, I mean, this guy hit me so hard, I almost cried, dude. Like, it was miserable. It was miserable. It was so miserable. Like, I stopped. Like, I never came back to practice. I just told the coach, I quit. I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. And I didn't play anymore. Couldn't succeed at basketball because I was too overweight. Even though I've lost a lot of that weight now. Plus, I was born with the left club foot, so that really affected my ability in running. But other than that, you know, I just decided I wasn't going to play football anymore. I just wasn't going to do it. My mom persuaded me for months and months and months. No, I shouldn't play football. Why I shouldn't play it? You shouldn't play football, Cameron. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't play it. And then that one day she picked me up in practice and she said, I told you so. See, there's this thing about me. I hate it when people say, I told you so. I can't stand it. Can't stand it at all, man. When people sit back and they say, I told you so. Oh, it just irks me. But that's just where I grew up and came from in sports. I just want to give a shout out to my uncle for introducing me to sports. He's the one that actually took me to my first Carolina basketball game. Ever since then, I've been to many. And Carolina football games, even though they're caused me a lifetime of pain and mediocrity and hurt, including this year. Four and one, whatever. She's getting to the point I'm not even watching them this year. They might as well call it a loss. For Christ's sake, get beat by Duke, California. I can understand Louisville. They have the Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, come on, he's a great quarterback. But, you know, it's... I got to tell you guys a story about the Panthers, too, man. I went to my uncle's house and 2015 when the Panthers made the Super Bowl and we watched the game and it came down to that last little Cam Newton fumble. For some reason, I just feel like the Panthers are cursed. Because, man, I'm telling you, every time I feel like they're going to succeed or win a Super Bowl, it never happens. Never happens. Ever. Never happens. So I feel like they're cursed. 2003, they lost. 2015, they lost. Any other time, they might win the NFC Championship or make it to the NFC Championship and lose to teams like Seattle or New Orleans or, you know, teams like that. You know, that's what I mean by mediocrity and hurt. I mean, my God, it hurts to be a Panther fan sometimes. It hurts. Everybody else got Super Bowls like the Steelers and you know, the Cowboys, you know, so-called America's team, and the Packers, and, you know, they got room to talk about Super Bowls. My God, we got an All-American quarterback, and we can't even win one. That's what I mean by hurt. Lord God Almighty. It has led me to a life of hurt and mediocrity for UNC football and the Carolina Panthers. My God. But so is the Chicago Cubs up until last year. And last night, they just clinched the National League Central Division, which I'm joyful over. And I honestly think it's going to be a Cubs-Indians rematch. I honestly think so with all my heart. But the Indians seem mighty hungry. But I believe they're on fire too early. Honestly believe that. I believe the Cubs might go back-to-back. They honestly might go back-to-back. I don't know if they will. It's mighty hard in baseball to do. But they might. And I'm telling you, I will rejoice and rejoice and rejoice if the Cubs go back to back. You guys just don't understand. We got a giant W flag hanging in my room over my bed. That's how much I love the Cubs. I got UNC players autographed like Kennedy Meeks and Roy Williams and Harrison Barnes and Kendall Marshall and countless others. I have their autographs hanging on my wall. You guys don't have to tell me anything about fandom. This is just a little fun show for myself. I don't really have any news to discuss tonight because I'm tired of talking about, you know, the national anthem bullcrap and the UL probe of FBI. I'm tired of talking about that. I wish something new would come in the sports world already. But I am definitely ready for this weekend, NFL football. Sunday, the Patriots take on the Panthers. That should be interesting. I don't know what the Panthers are going to do without Olsen. I have no clue. I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you. I mean, their offense played like crap against New Orleans last week. I mean, they were horrible. And if they play like that against New England, it's done. You can just call it a done deal. It was just an embarrassment. But I also like to read sports books, too. I have numerous amounts of books by author by the name of Art Chansky. I read a lot of Cubs books, a lot of sports documentaries, and I watch a lot of sports documentaries, you know, like ESPN, 30 for 30. And I read a lot of nonfiction sports books because that's what I'm interested in, and I have a lot of sports knowledge. And I try not to be biased, but on this show it's okay to be biased because I'm telling you about myself. Other than that, you know, I'm not going to be biased from now on. I'm just an introduction to sports in my life of loving sports. Not too long ago, me and my girlfriend went to a Carolina game, and I was yelling, and she was like, "You're giving me a headache." I told her I didn't care. You better daggone believe I slept in the doghouse that night. Because, boy, she was angry. And on top of that, old buddy next to us, he spilled liquor all over her. All over her. He was slinging his cup around and had one of those little airplane mini glass shot things of liquor. He poured it in his coat and he was drunk and swinging it around and the top come off the drink and it landed all over. I felt so sorry for her. Even landing on me, I cussed the guy out. I mean, he was pissed drunk. It was bad. Shouldn't even been in there. I mean, that interrupts fan services and everything else. But I felt so sorry for her. She was already having a bad day. A lot had already happened, and, you know, along with the liquor and me yelling and all the people cheering, you know, giving her a headache, I just felt bad. I felt bad I would put her in that situation. There's been times I've watched games with my uncle and went to games with my uncle. He's had to tell me to calm down and chill out. Because I get too riled up. See, sports to me is like politics. You know that 90-year-old man that gets riled up about a Democrat or a conservative? You know, he gets riled up about it. Yeah, that's how I am when it comes to sports. I will fight you over sports. I will argue with you for hours over sports. No matter what it is. If it's something I watch and it's something I'm interested in, I will argue you for hours over sports. Still kind of hurt I didn't get any letter back from Theo Epstein. I wrote him about 2 months ago. It never came, as always. But, you know, that was just a little introduction. You know, I want to get started with you guys and let you guys in a little bit of my life stories and what I like and who I like and what teams I like. I'm going to try to get in the habit of doing this every day. You know, I've worked all night tonight, guys. It's been a long, long day for me. But, you know, it's all good, man. It's all good. I enjoy doing this. Hopefully one day I can make it big. You know, I wish you guys would share the link, tune in, do what you got to do to share with your friends. When you see an episode on, tune in. When you don't, replay the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Share it on your social media sites. Because one of these days I hope to get big. My dream job is ESPN after I finish college, but I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I hope so. Hopefully one day I can have a show with Bomani Jones. I'm going to aim for that. Woo, Bomani! The right time with Bomani Jones and Cameron Ward. How about that? How's that sound, guys? Yeah, I know. It's kind of stupid, isn't it? But I want to tell you guys to have a nice night. Be safe out there. It's 12:38 a.m. And this is the Clutch Move with Cameron Ward. I'll see you guys tomorrow, and I'm signing off.
Everybody to scatter. Got it into Ewing. Ewing trying to get front court. Noel swiping at the ball. Knocked away. Felton goes to the floor. Loose ball. Timeout. Timeout. Carolina.
That changes everything. What a play by 25-24.
Felton well out on the right. Trying to get free. Drives. Put it up. Blocked away. Foul on Duke. First free throw. Good. Cleanly through. 73-72. Felton ready on his second attempt. That one is no good. They battle for it. Loose ball. Recovered. Marvin. He scores. 17 seconds left. And he was fouled. Foul is on Patrick Johnson.